Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour
to our own podcast, where we listen to our own script.
The meta podcast.
Hope you all enjoy the script that we're about to listen to.
It's that time again. It's audio drama week, everybody. We figure, it's always a good idea to get caught up on where we are, so we're going to play the audio drama segment so far of our Jar Jar Binks fanfic, no copyright infringement intended, George Lucas, don't sue us.
Really quick, I'm Matt Arnold.
I'm Will Campos.
And I'm Freddie Wong.
So we weren't going to do this, but we all bought the Rise of Skywalker's limited edition Blu-ray. We were looking at the special features, and we found out that one of the problems they had is they never went back and read the script after they were halfway done with it. So we were like, we should learn from this. Maybe we should take a little moment, take a pause. We're halfway through the script. Maybe we take a pause and let's re-listen and just make sure we kind of know what we're doing. That might help out the final products. That's what we're doing here today.
After doing all the fun run of episodes we've been doing, I was like, all right, time to do Jar Jar. And I was like, oh shit, what's going on in the story? I don't remember at all. So I am eager as you are to remember and learn what the story is and whether or not we wrote ourselves into a corner.
I feel like it's going to be looking back and like one of our friends videotaped me during a blackout or something. Like, I'm a little worried about re-listening. I'm pretty sure Qui-Gon is like driving a van and somebody doesn't like
kinds of stuff in here. Listen, go ahead and kick back, relax, enjoy the first part so far of our Jar Jar fanfic. A little recap for you all. So here we go. Imagine that this is where you would imagine the 20th Century Fox like theme and the THX sound. So go ahead.
Obviously, 20th Century Fox has nothing to do with this, nor Lucasfilm nor Disney.
None of them. Yeah. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks, Jar Jar Binks, Jar Binks.
Jar 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 Bing Bing Bing.
Jar Jar Binks. 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 My favorite Star Wars theme is definitely Jar of the Binks. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, a vast sea of stars serves as the backdrop for the main title. War drums echo through the heavens as a roll-up slowly crawls into infinity. Jar Jar, Portrait of a Hero. As the roll-up continues, we hear the voice of Jar Jar Binks reading the text out loud.
It's a time of big danger for the Republic. The war with the Separatists rages on, and now, sir, more than ever, we sir need real leaders with a real vision for the galaxy. Which is why Yusa should re-elect Misa, Jar Jar Binks, as your junior representative to the Galactic Senate. Misa fought the Trade Federation face first as Bombad General in the Battle of Naboo. And in Misa's first term, Misa worked side in hand with Senator Amidala for all the Nabooian peoples.
But most important, Misa was the only senator brave enough to grant emergency powers to Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. Misa proud to stand by the Chancellor in our fight to save the Republic, because the galaxy needs a hero, and so does Naboo?
And cut.
The roll-up grinds to an abrupt halt and scrolls back up as we pull out to Interior Senate Building, Jar Jar's office, day. The roll-up is actually a holographic teleprompter floating in midair in the Senate offices of Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar, wearing formal attire, stands anxiously in front of the camera. His silver protocol droid, N838, dutifully hands him a pair of giant novelty vibro scissors.
That's where you cut the cord and the curtain drops, revealing a fabulous statue of you, sir.
The holographic projection shifts into an image of a statue hidden under a curtain. The curtain falls, revealing a statue of Jar Jar standing boldly atop a tank. An inscription at the bottom reads, "The Hero of Naboo." Jar Jar lowers the big scissors and frowns doubtfully at the inscription.
Should we really say Misa, Hero of Naboo?
N838 gives an amused chuckle and walks to the window.
Don't ask me, Junior Representative Binks. Ask your constituents.
He opens the blinds. Outside in the courtyard below, a massive crowd of adoring fans screams and cheers for Jar Jar. They wave signs and banners. Jar Jar is our hero. We saw heart Jar Jar, etc.
Aye, yikes. They's acting like Misa Bombad Jedi. But Misa just some any day kind of fella.
And that's why you're so inspiring. Only the chosen elite can swing a lightsaber, but anyone can be as brave as Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar frowns, still doubtful.
Junior Representative, if I may be so bold, look around you. The galaxy is at war. The people are afraid. They need heroes to give them hope. They need you, Jar Jar. And so does Chancellor Palpatine.
And 838 not so subtly turns Jar Jar towards a massive portrait of a smiling Chancellor Palpatine hanging on the wall. An engraving on the frame reads, "To Jar Jar, do it, Sheev." Jar Jar's resolve begins to crumble.
Well, if it will help the Chancellor.
That's the spirit. Now let's get out there and give the people what they want.
Jar Jar puts on a brave smile, hoists the scissors over his shoulder, and marches to the door.
Not the front door. The crowd will mob us like a pack of slitherfish. This way, sir.
Nate 38 opens the door to a side stairwell. A line of people waits in the stairwell outside Jar Jar's office. Some of them sit on cots and sleeping bags. They've been waiting here for days. Nate 38 opens the door, guarding Jar Jar behind her. Upon seeing Jar Jar exit his office, a commotion erupts in the line.
Jar Jar!
Jar Jar!
Jar Jar, Mr. Binks, please read this petition, etc. Read this.
We need your help.
I have
I'm hungry.
Political stuff, Mr. Jar Jar.
No. No appointments today. The representative is very busy.
Groans of disappointment from the people in line.
Hi there, sorry. Can't Wisa do anything for them?
Oh, very well.
A hatch pops open in 838's chassis, and she fires a volley of campaign stickers at the people in line.
Sticker for you, sticker for you, sticker for you. Vote for Jar Jar.
Do you remember the pizza launcher? The Ninja Turtles pizza launcher, Will?
Yes.
That's what that is.
That is vivid.
One of the greatest toys.
It was an incredible toy. I lost all the plastic pizzas immediately. Yep.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I definitely hurt myself on this thing because you have to pull a thing for it. Anyway, that's what the launcher is. Make a note.
Exterior, Theed City, day. Jar Jar and Nate 38 tumble out a chute into an alley behind City Hall. The roar of a crowd chanting, "Jar, Jar, Jar, Jar," fills the air nearby. Nate 38 spots a silver land speeder parked nearby.
That's our speeder. Oh, blast. Where's the driver?
Jar Jar puts the big scissors in the back and helps Nate 38 into the passenger seat.
Not to worry. Misa, pretty handy behind the wheel.
Oh, dear. Just try to keep a low profile.
As Jar Jar buckles in Nate 38, his butt nudges
Hold on. Sorry. Has there ever been a seatbelt in any of the 9 Star Wars movies, Will?
I believe C-3PO buckles himself in the Millennium Falcon and in A New Hope when they're blasting off out of the Death Star.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a coy reference to that.
Yeah, just most of the movies are full of like rebels and bad boys. So like we don't see a lot of seatbelts, but like good citizens like Jar Jar definitely wear seatbelts.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
As Jar Jar buckles in Nate 38, his butt nudges a big red button on the dashboard. Suddenly, a massive hologram of Jar Jar beams into the sky, waving. Huge speakers pop out of the speeder and campaign music blares, along with a booming recording of Jar Jar's voice.
Sorry, has anybody done a visual gag where somebody farts and, like, the wave of the fart, like, shakes the hologram as if, like, the hologram's made of, like, anyways.
That's some next-level cinematic shit there, Matt.
I've just never seen that visually. Anyway, sorry.
Jar Jar and Nate 38 freeze in terror. At the end of the alley, a Jar Jar superfan, a Mandalorian wearing fake Gungan ears on his helmet, waving a little flag, gasps as he spots them.
Oh my gosh, it's Jar Jar!
A high-pitched scream erupts from the crowd. Stampeding footsteps shake the ground.
Punch it!
Jar Jar stomps the gas, and the speeder lurches backwards straight into a pole. Its engine conks out and it falls into the ground. A massive crowd of screaming fans pours into each side of the alley, surrounding them.
What was it gonna do?
Hang on!
A jetpack pops out of Nate 38's back. Ugh. Jar Jar hops into his arms. They blast off, but their combined weight makes the jetpack pitch forward and they zoom mere feet above the ground straight through the crowd. A rollicking alien pop song a la A Hard Day's Night kicks off as we begin montage.
Sorry, a rollicking alien jizz song.
A rollicking alien jizz pop rock number.
And just for everyone who doesn't know, jizz is a type of music in Star Wars.
Yes, it is.
You can look it up on Wikipedia. We're not saying sexual things just for the heck of it, even though that's our normal.
It's not sexual, it's biological, Freddy. It is just fluid inside the body that starts.
It can be both, Matt. It can be both biological and sexual.
This is very Rocket Man energy.
Yes,
or Rocketeer.
Is.
That's what I meant. Rocketeer energy.
Exterior, Theed Streets, day. A madcap slapstick chase sequence ensues as Jar Jar and Nate 38 careen through the streets of Theed, pursued by a wild mob led by the Mandalorian Jar Jar fan giving chase with his jetpack. Nate 38 weaves through a twisting alleyway that pours out into a street market. They blast through fruit vendor carts and pottery stands, causing chaos wherever they turn. Naturally, they plow straight through a costume shop and emerge from the other side wearing new outfits. Nate 38 is dressed like a palace guard, while Jar Jar somehow is wound up dressed like Queen Amidala. They exchange confused glances, then scream as they realize they're flying straight towards a low-hanging archway. Nate 38 tries to dive. His jetpack scrapes the bottom of the arch and flies off, sending our duo tumbling into the ground. The mob rounds the corner, then skids abruptly to a halt when they see the Queen of Naboo and her royal guard. Everyone drops to a knee and makes a path for them to walk through. Nate 38 puts on a pompous air and marches like a soldier. Jar Jar smiles nervously and gives a little queen hand wave to the crowd. Suddenly, Jar Jar steps over a grated air vent to the ground. A puff of steam blows his royal dress into the air, Marilyn Monroe style, revealing his big gungan feet underneath. The Jar Jar Fandalorian, headbound, sees Jar Jar's feet, looks up and screams,
"It's him!"
Jar Jar and Nate 38 take off running once again, this time towards an overpass. A freight train speeds along beneath them. Jar Jar and Nate 38 give each other a terrified look and jump for it. The crowd catches up to the overpass, just in time to see Jar Jar and Nate 38 clinging for dear life to a speeding cargo container beneath them. They sigh with disappointment as our duo zooms off down the tracks. Interior railway car, day. Jar Jar and Nate 38 fall into a beat-up railway car. A stack of milk crates emblazoned with a Blue Bantha mascot drinking a glass of blue milk break their fall. By the way, I was very proud of Blue Bantha milk as like the brand of the Blue Bantha
milk. Wait, so is the milk coming from the Bantha? Like, cows don't drink their own milk, dog.
Well, you know, they didn't think about it that hard. Maybe it's like the Blue Bantha is like selling you the milk. Like, check out my milk. You know, maybe it's not drinking the milk.
Yeah. And they're milking it from a droid, like a C-3PO style droid. It's like synthetic milk the whole time. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what blue milk is. It's droid milk, dude. Fucking gross.
Yes. Okay. This is the canon now, is that blue milk comes from droids, but it's called Bantha milk because Blue Bantha is the company that sells the milk.
Yes. I love it.
They fall on the crates. They give a wince of pain, then an exhausted sigh of relief. General Jar Jar? Is it you? Jar Jar looks up in the corner of the car. A weathered Gungan in a ragged military uniform has made a little camp for herself. This is Croquet Seal.
Croquet?
Croquet beams a megawatt grin and hobbles to her feet, pulling a crutch under her arm. General Jar Jar! Captain Croquet Seal, ready for battle! Suddenly she coughs and falls to her knees. Jar Jar rushes to her side.
Croquet! Steady! Steady, what are Yusa doing here?
Just catching a ride back home, General. Actually, Misa came to Theed to see you. She points to a Jar Jar campaign sticker on her crutch.
Still glistening, new, freshly peeled.
A brand new Jar Jar sticker. But I guess Yusa pretty busy these days, huh?
Well, Misa here now, what's on your mind?
Well, General, it's about those new blaster factories they're building. They're pumping their sludge runoff straight into the Andravea River.
They said what?
Captain Seal, it is my delight to inform you that every Republic facility on Naboo is thoroughly regulated to ensure minimal environmental impact.
Minimal impact, huh? Croquet reaches into her bag and pulls out a disgusting mutated river fish, its skin covered in growths and sores and more than a few extra eyeballs. Tell that to the folks in my village when Wisa pulling these out of the water.
Hey, Yusa.
Wisa can't eat the fish. Wisa can't sell the fish. Wisa dying, General. She coughs again, staggering.
Croquet.
Captain Seal, the junior representative, hears your concerns and thanks you for sharing your voice. May I suggest filing an official complaint with the Subcommittee on Wartime Project Resource Allocation?
Bah! Those muckety wigs don't listen to us. We saw minimal impact. But you, General, when you speak, they solicit.
Oh, Misa not that important, really.
Croquet grabs Jar Jar's hands and looks imploringly into his eyes. General, Misa spilled the same blood in the same mud. Misa village lost many sons and daughters at the Battle of Naboo. Misa proud to support the Chancellor in the war. But this is our home. This is what Misa fighting for. Will Misa fight for us? She puts the gross fish in Jar Jar's hands. Nate 38 grabs Jar Jar from behind in a bear hug.
Sorry, sir, this is our stop. A true pleasure to meet you, Captain. Vote for Jar Jar.
But Misa not... Yeah!
Jar Jar screams as Nate 38 dives out of the moving train, taking Jar Jar with him. Exterior, Theed Riverside, day. Jar Jar and 838 plummet from the train into a river winding through the city of Theed below.
No, it should be right before they hit the ground. Nate 38 puffs up like the ejection, like mold in Speed Racer. I love when droids have like magical powers they didn't
know
before.
Yes. Nate 38 turns into a big poofy airbag bubble and they bounce harmlessly onto the ground. Cut to exterior, munitions factory, day. A giddy crowd charges.
Oh, sorry, stupid gag. And yes, it's a bubble, and then when they land, like the bubble deflates, and it's like a big plastic bubble, and then it disconnects from Nate 38, and then she just kicks it into the river, and then you just watch this big plastic bubble float down the river and go off the waterfall. Anyway, sorry. Just littering. Okay.
Exterior, munition factory, day. A giddy crowd chants Jar Jar's name outside a sprawling munitions factory. A stage has been erected in front of the depot gates. Two big Citizen Kane-style banners of Jar Jar's face flank the stage, along with a massive statue hidden behind a huge curtain. Exterior munitions factory, backstage, day. Backstage, Jar Jar paces, despondent, staring at the gross fish like Hamlet pondering Yorick's skull. Nate 38 blow dries Jar Jar's wet clothes.
Nate 38 has every single attachment, like
Swiss Army droid.
Premium.
But how can Misa give a speech at a munitions factory when... They said polluting the water. Shouldn't we say something?
We will, of course, at the appropriate time to the appropriate member of the appropriate committee. But if you're thinking of waving that hideous fish around at your statue unveiling, well, I would advise strongly against it.
But Croquet's village...
Everyone on Naboo is making sacrifices for the war. We all have our burdens to bear.
Jar Jar frowns, unconvinced. Nate-38 peeks open the backstage curtain and points outside to the crowd.
That's why what you do is so important. You make them smile and laugh. You make them feel hope. Sometimes that's not easy. And maybe that's your burden, Representative.
Representative Binks, a Jedi approaches.
Yo, this is the first Jedi in this script, dude. Boom. Give me a cool voice.
Representative Binks, I'm trying to do my Qui-Gon voice. A Jedi approaches and motions Jar Jar towards the stage. We're ready for you. They're going to take you. Jar Jar's resolve wavers. Nate-38 holds out the ceremonial scissors and puts out a hand to take the fish. With a sigh, Jar Jar hands her the fish, takes the scissors, and follows the Jedi onto the stage.
Who struts with a cool lightsaber. It glistens in the sun.
Pulls out two purple lightsabers and does a backflip.
Whoa!
Exterior, backstage, day. A ceremonial procession lines up at the wings of the stage. Two Gungan royal guards sit astride Kadus, big alien horses at the front of the procession. Two torchbearers stand behind them. One of the Kadus gives a big stomach rumble. The torchbearer behind it moves his flaming torch away from the Kadu's butt.
Oh, no.
At the back of the procession, the Kadu gives him a sexy-ass look. At the back of the procession, flanked by the Jedi, Atom Lorned, his young, idealistic Padawan, Fernge Widow, 19, and a dozen clone troopers, Jar Jar sweats nervously. Also, those are anagrams for your guys' name, but I made them all Star Wars-y. Atom Lorned,
oh,
that's
nice.
You mad.
Fernge, oh,
Fernge Widow is Freddy Wong.
Nice. Fernge Widow. Okay, I get it.
And a dozen clone troopers, Jar Jar sweats nervously. The crowd outside, hyped beyond all reason, chants his name.
Then you'll give your speech. Cut the rope, reveal the statue, and then my Padawan will... Fernge, stop staring.
Adam nudges Fernge, who is staring up at Jar Jar in starstruck awe.
Sorry. It will be my distinct honor to protect you, Jar Jar.
Representative Binks.
Representative Binks! Sorry. I'm such a big fan, sir. You're kind of like my hero.
I hate this Jedi.
We're supposed to be sad that this guy gets killed, Freddy.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
No, it's fine.
I'll do it.
Hey, when you cast an actor, you're stuck with him.
Representative Binks. Sorry.
No.
Misa, your hero? But Yusa Jedis, Yusa the heroes.
All we do is protect the good guys and fight the bad guys.
That's not all we do.
We may have the Force, but you have the power to improve people's lives.
A twinge of guilt on Jar Jar's face. He gulps and wipes his brow.
That's enough, Padawan. Why don't you get Representative Binks some water?
Yes, Master.
Fernge runs off. Adam gives an...
I gotta get water for my hero.
Adam gives an embarrassed chuckle.
Apprentices, right?
Right.
But hey, listen. I know this isn't exactly the Jedi way, but... His born day's coming up. Would you mind?
Adam pulls out a Jar Jar sticker and a marker from his Jedi robes and offers them to Jar Jar. Jar Jar looks down at his smiling face with another pang of sadness, then hides it behind a smile.
I mean, I definitely get that in the universe of Star Wars where they have Jedis, like, the technology of markers is not a lot. But for some reason, seeing the word marker has completely thrown me out of this universe.
It's like a Sharpie is there. I get it. They need to write.
I don't think I've ever seen someone write something down in a Star Wars movie, right? What do they use, fucking space pencils? Like, you're right. When I wrote it, I was like, this is weird. Like, what is it, a Sharpie? Yeah.
But, like, a marker is, like, no different than, like, caveman. And, like, it's just a wet thing coming off of a stick. It's like,
what's weird is that if I had said he had, like, a quill and an inkwell, you'd be like, yeah, that tracks. That makes sense. Even though it's set in the fucking space future. Jar Jar looks down at his smiling face with another pang of sadness, then hides it behind a smile.
Of course. Anything for the Jedi.
Cut to exterior, stage, day. The blast of horns playing a fanfare pierces the air. The procession emerges onto the stage, horn-playing Gungans riding their Kadus in front. The crowd roars. Jar Jar waves and smiles as he follows the procession towards his podium. He sees Nate-38 on the other side of the stage, about to throw the fish into a trash can. She looks up and gives him a wave. With pomp and circumstance, the procession takes their places, and Jar Jar ascends to the podium. He glances up at the huge curtain hanging behind him. He sets it down his novelty scissors beside a pulley connected to the curtain. Adam and Fernge take center stage as a dignified hush settles over the crowd. The Jedi's bow.
Citizens of Naboo.
Then throw off their robes and bust out their lightsabers.
Y'all ready for Binks?
Hold on. I don't think, Matt, you know the Jock Jam, right?
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
Y'all ready for Binks?
Like, look it up. Just look it up.
Y'all ready for this?
Everyone, we're getting Matt Google right now.
Y'all ready for this?
No, yeah, just no. But look it up. Like, it's so. I don't know how else to tell you. It's a thing, and it's clear that you haven't heard it. You've never been to a hockey game. Exactly. I don't know.
No, I'm not a musical person. I know exactly what you're saying. It feels like it's hard to say it with Binks. Y'all ready for this?
Like, y'all ready for this?
Yeah, but it's like, you. All right, I'll throw you in with some ba-na-na-bam-bam, and then you do, like, just your cockiest, most big dick energy, like, y'all check this shit out. Yeah, exactly.
It's very right. cocky. Yeah, it's very yeah. cocky.
All right, ready?
Y'all ready for Binks?
Disco lights shine, and a righteous jock jam blasts from the sound system as Adam and Fern spark up their sabers and perform a sick Jedi floor routine. Flippy dips and saber swings. Galore. It's like Cirque du Soleil meets Duel of the Fates for 5 unbroken minutes. At the climax of their routine, they lock sabers and fireworks shoot out of them and explode in the sky in the shape of Jar Jar. The crowd cheers. This scene gets cut from the movie. Adam and Fern slam a predator high five that trot off the stage.
Fuck yeah.
And a hush falls over the crowd once more. Jar Jar clears his throat and the mic does that feedback thing that only happens in movies to show you the character's uncomfortable with public speaking.
Thank you for coming. It's a time of big danger for the Republic. The war with the Separatists rages on, and now some more than ever. We some need real leaders with a real vision for the galaxy, which is why you, sir...
Jar Jar trails off for a moment as he stares out at the crowd. The sea of hopeful faces, sporting an ocean of Jar Jar merch, stares back at him, hanging on his words.
Should re-elect Misa to the Galactic Senate. Misa fought the Trade Federation face first as Bombad General in the Battle of Naboo.
As he says this, the Gungan guards on stage snap to attention and give him a crisp salute. He winces and tries to keep going through his speech.
And in Misa's first term, Misa can't do this.
Jar Jar marches off the stage. A commotion breaks out. He stomps over to Nate 38, who moves to block the trash can.
The two Jedis look around and slowly take off their hood, ready to fill in the time with
a frantic stage manager checks her
vamp,
mic and
vamp.
Gives her like the vamp, like run, like go, 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 go. Hand signal, universal hand signal.
And the jock jam starts up and is abortively shut down.
Sorry.
He stomps over to Nate 38, who moves to block the trash can.
No.
In the background, the two Jedi shoot t-shirts from a t-shirt can into the appreciative waiting crowd.
Okay.
Misa, sorry, Nate 38, but Misa have to.
Think of the polling. Won't someone please think of the polling?
Jar Jar pushes past her, pulls the fish out of the trash can, steps back up to the podium, and waves the fish in front of the crowd.
Look at this thin fish. My friend, Captain Croquet, can't sell this fish. She can't eat this fish. Her whole village is starving. And all because of this...
Suddenly, the fish gives a post-mortem belch and barfs up a hideous goo onto Jar Jar's face. The crowd bursts into delighted laughter. Jar Jar stumbles back, trips off the podium's platform, and gets tangled into the big curtain concealing the statue. The crowd laughs even more. Jar Jar flails as he tries to untangle himself. People rush to help him, but his foot steps through the loop of the giant scissors. He tries to kick them off, but winds up cutting the pulley rope. Whoosh! A counterweight drops to the ground. The curtain ascends to the rafters, taking Jar Jar with it.
Yeah!
Y'all ready for this?
Sorry. Jar Jar gets flung through the air. One of the Gungan guards dives off his Kadu right as Jar Jar crashes into the saddle. The Kadu bucks around, then its eyes bulge and its stomach rumbles. The torchbearer finds himself holding a lit flame mere inches from its butt. I have a bad feeling about this.
It just be wrong. He just knows it's going anyway.
The Kadu farts, turning the torch into a massive flamethrower. A flame jets across the stage, spooking the other Kadu. People scream. Both Kadu start a stampede. Jar Jar, tangled in the reins and the pulley rope, is drawn taut between the Kadu and the statue.
Ow, 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 ow.
The crowd's laughter turns into a worried commotion. The statue, a towering sculpture of Jar Jar heroically riding the barrel of a tank, begins to crack under the strain of the pulley rope, tangled around statue Jar Jar's torso. Nate 38 totters onto the stage and manages to break the reins free from Jar Jar's hands. The Kadu bucks and kicks her across the stage. Jar Jar plops onto the ground and sighs with relief. But then a shadow falls over his face to the sound of cracking stone. He looks up and sees statue Jar Jar toppling over, about to crush him. He screams and covers his face. And then the statue stops midair. Jar Jar looks up confused, then gasps along with the awestruck crowd at Fern's widow, holding the massive statue aloft with the power of the Force. He strains with effort, but manages a smile. The crowd cheers.
Woo, yeah.
Wait,
woo.
Where's the fucking master? Where's he's like getting a fucking pretzel or something? Like,
holding
damn.
The horses. There's a lot of shit going
the
on.
Crowd,
no, I'm just saying.
The crowd cheers. Jar Jar gives
except for one guy who screams out, where's the master? Why isn't the master doing anything?
The crowd cheers. Jar Jar gives Fern's a thumbs up. Then Ferge flinches and staggers back. Confused, he looks down and sees a smoking blaster hole in his chest. Jar Jar gawks in horror as Ferng drops to the ground. The statue begins to fall again. Jar Jar rolls over Ferng and pulls him away from the crashing statue. The crowd breaks into screaming panic. Jar Jar looks down at Ferng, whose eyes are glazing over fast. Before he can even process what's going on, two clone troopers grab Jar Jar and pull him away from the dying young man. Through the chaos, Jar Jar sees Adam, enraged, blocking a flurry of blaster fire as he battles his way through the clone troopers towards his slain Padawan. Deflected blaster bolts sizzle through the air. Nate 38 swoops in front of Jar Jar and an armored shield extends from her arm, blocking the laser fire and obscuring Jar Jar's view of the stage. The pandemonium overwhelms Jar Jar. The screaming crowds, the firing blasters, the hum of a lightsaber suddenly cut short as the clone troopers rush him off stage and into a security ship floating nearby. As the engine roars and the ship blasts off, a shell-shocked Jar Jar trembles with fright. The trooper to his side speaks into a comlink.
VIP secured.
Cut to black. An ominous atonal alert noise drones three times, and the symbol of the Republic plays on a flickering holographic video.
This is an emergency holonet transmission from the Galactic Republic.
The symbol flickers away, replaced by newsreel footage from all across the galaxy of Jedi fighting with clone troopers.
For reasons unknown, the Jedi Order has attacked Republic soldiers and citizens across the galaxy.
A shaky found footage clip plays of the Galactic Senate building. We see lightning flashes spark out of a window on the top floor.
On Coruscant, a group of Jedi led by High Council member Mace Windu were slain during an attempted assassination of Supreme Chancellor Palpatine.
A Jedi, Mace Windu, plummets from the window to the streets below. The footage cuts to a squad of clone troopers.
You're telling me that some fucking Daco filmmaker on the ground at Coruscant was rolling when Mace Windu fell
I
out of the...
I figured there was Kill like, it. They I saw sparks coming from the window and someone pointed yeah. and pulled out their force phone or whatever.
Top
you know.
Post of why were they
cameras
filming
are on all the time
Reddit,
now.
Am I right?
There's cameras everywhere.
The footage starts with a news anchor talking about like a cute like local news story, and then the guy's like, wait, what's up there? And then pants up.
This lady was filming her aerobics session when Mace Windu fell behind her.
There you go. That's what it is. It's a droid aerobics video, and then Mace Windu falls in the background.
The footage cuts to a squad of clone troopers flanked by medical droids, rushing Supreme Chancellor Palpatine towards an ambulance on a stretcher.
The Supreme Chancellor is in stable condition and will address the Republic soon to discuss the ongoing Jedi crisis.
Exterior, Coruscant, day. Hundreds of spacecraft descend on the landing pads of the Galactic Senate building. Among them, we find the ship carrying Jar Jar and Nate 38. As the craft lands and the loading ramp descends, Jar Jar and Nate are escorted toward the Senate building by a phalanx of troopers.
But it doesn't make any sense. The Jedi Misa know would never hurt us.
I am as shocked as you are, Junior Representative, but the footage speaks for itself. And I saw that boy rip down your statue with my own 3 million optical sensors.
But Misa wasn't...
Jar Jar! Jar Jar looks up and sees Senator Padme Amidala approaching the Senate building with a retinue of guards. She rushes to him and they hug.
Padme!
Thank goodness you're safe.
Annie, is he... Did he...
Anakin's fine. Or at least he's... Never mind. The Chancellor believes the Jedi have betrayed us. But something's not right. I can feel it.
What should Lisa do?
One of the clone troopers urges Padme to keep moving.
Senator, we have to get you inside.
The beefiest clone trooper. Like, this one's, like, noticeably thicker than the rest.
Padme and Jar Jar follow the troopers to the main door of the Senate Hall. Padme whispers to Jar Jar in a hushed, worried tone. We need to be careful, Jar Jar. There's nothing like a crisis to bring out the worst in people. Wait! She calls out to her clone trooper guards, who are about to enter the Senate building with rifles slung over their shoulders. Your weapons, Commander.
Ma'am, given the danger...
This building is a place of peace and democracy, Commander. Weapons have been banned in its halls for over 1,000 years.
Be that as it may.
This Republic has survived many dark days by the strength of its virtues. We will not abandon them today. Off her determined look, the commander relents.
Oh, man.
Oh,
man. I love my guns.
That's a weird line that you wrote, Will, on the script.
Oh, man, my
clone
guns.
Trooper, oh, man, my guns. But okay, you know, hey, you wrote it.
The beefy one says, but can I come in with these guns? And he flexes and his armor pops off.
Oh, and there's
off.
Two of them nice. Like that are flexing each with each other. Yeah, yeah.
He nods to his men and they unstrap their rifles. Interior Senate Chamber Day. Jar Jar, Padme, and Senator Bail Organa sit in their floating repulsor pod. I looked that up, by the way. They're called repulsor pods.
Repulsor pods, huh?
In the sprawling Senate chamber. At the center of the chamber, Supreme Chancellor Palpatine, his burned features hiding behind a hooded cloak, addresses the Senate.
Who's going to do Palpatine impression?
Soup's on. Who wants to give it a shot? This is like,
who wants it? We'll each give it one shot.
Wait, Freddy, you got it?
We'll each do one, and then we'll...
You count on my life.
It's going to be Freddy, I know it.
the attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed.
Let's hear Will's.
The attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed.
That's fucking good.
But I assure you, my resolve has never been stronger.
Oh, you're doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it. Keep going.
No, hold on. So, Will, I need you to say the word Jedi.
Jedi.
Give me a little more stank on it.
Jedi.
Oh, there it is.
His body like almost represses him saying the J.
Well, you guys got to remember, this is Palpatine like when he still hasn't Jedi. Really dropped Trow yet. Do you mean he's still trying to work the crowd a little
he's
bit
constipated.
Here. He's not
I
full.
Get it.
The attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed, but I assure you my resolve has never been stronger. The war is over. The Separatists have been defeated, and the Jedi Rebellion has been foiled.
A cheer goes up from the audience. As they applaud, we push in on Jar Jar, looking conflicted and confused.
Woo! What a great voice! I love him! Woo!
Flashback montage. Jar Jar's thoughts dwell on his memories of the Jedi. Fond moments with Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Anakin, and more flicker past the screen, ending with the smiling face of the Padawan who saved him from that falling statue. Another cheer snapped Jar Jar out of his reverie. Palpatine's speech reaches its climactic finale.
We stand on the threshold of a new beginning!
Padme steps forward in the pod, studying Palpatine intently. Well, this is the moment we discover if he intends to return the public to a democracy.
In order to ensure our security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society which I assure you will last for 10,000 years.
There is a loud, sustained cheer from the Senate.
Ooh, that's a lot of years. I love all those years.
Bail Organa and Padme sit dumbfounded.
An empire that will continue to be ruled by this august body and a sovereign ruler chosen for life.
The Senate cheers again. Bail and Padme are devastated.
Oh,
Padme
yeah.
sheds a quiet Woo. Tear. A look of despair fills Jar Jar's face. Fuck, I'm getting all the good lines today.
An empire ruled by the majority, ruled by a new constitution.
The Senate applauds. So this is how liberty dies. To thunderous applause.
We can't let this happen.
He starts to stand up. Padme stops him. Not now. There will be a time. Suddenly another... Oh, this was stupid. Suddenly... I forgot that they can actually get in there. They're from like the side
no,
of the
you, you... Wait. You think... Okay, so listener, Will is deleting a part of the script because apparently he thinks that all the senators have to load into the pods like a fucking Disneyland attraction. They all have to line up and get in. There's a door in the back of them.
I forgot that they like are plugged into the wall at the beginning because you see them flying around and stuff like that. But no, at the start of the scene, you see Jimmy Smits like walk into the pod from another room.
Oh.
Suddenly the door behind them opens. Four sinister looking troopers in blood red armor stand in the hall. One of them motions Jar Jar, Padme, and Bail Organa to come with them.
Your presence is required by the Emperor.
Dang, troopers got sexy, dude. I like the direction the Republic's going, you know what I'm saying?
Jar Jar gulps nervously as he looks at the large blaster rifles slung over the trooper's shoulders. Rage burns in Padme's eyes, but she smooths it over with a polite diplomat's smile. Very well. Please lead the way. Interior, Palpatine's chambers, day. A protocol droid pours tea into four ornate cups for Emperor Palpatine, Jar Jar, Padme, and Bail Organa.
The medics say with time they can restore much of the cosmetic damage. But I say let my visage be a warning to the galaxy about the cruelty of the Jedi. Plus, it's not like I was a hollow screen star to begin with.
The idea of Palpatine cracking a joke. I love it.
Jar Jar laughs along nervously to Palpatine's chuckle. Palpatine sips his tea and motions for them to do likewise. Bail smiles warmly as he takes his cup. Padme raises hers with a stony suspicion. Jar Jar carefully picks up his cup with both hands, trying not to spill the brimming liquid.
Now then, we have much to discuss, starting with the Senate.
Jar Jar goes for a sip from his cup.
What's on your mind, Your Excellency? Holiness? I don't know how to address a...
Emperor Palpatine will suffice.
Jar Jar goes for a sip from his cup and promptly snaps the handle off. Jar Jar's eyes shoot wide in alarm.
As I was saying, the Senate has become a cloistered intelligentsia, isolated from the real citizens of the galaxy. Therefore, henceforth, it shall be an advisory body, with direct authority placed in the hands of planetary governors.
Governors elected by the people, or appointed by you?
Elections are a relic of a bygone age. One cannot run an empire with a hodgepodge of primitive democracies.
Padme bristles with rage. Bail shoots her a glance. Keep your cool. Meanwhile, Jar Jar hides the broken handle in his pocket and sighs with relief. He sips from his cup and sees the protocol droid staring absolute daggers at him. Jar Jar gulps, his hand trembles, splashing his tea.
Now, this may be a difficult transition, which is why Naboo shall lead by example. Senator Amidala, as a former queen yourself...
As a former queen of Naboo, I will play no part in our people's subjugation as your hand-picked governor.
My dear senator, all I was going to say was, as a former queen yourself, what do you think of Jar Jar for governor?
Misa?
Him?
Him?
That was Bale, by the way.
Bale is Tim Allen.
That's
in
Tim
this
Allen.
Scene, yeah.
More power.
Certainly. Jar Jar is a military man. He knows how to handle things.
Jar Jar looks down at his broken teacup.
Misa might not be the best person for the job.
That is why it must be you. Those who seek not the crown are the best to carry its burdens.
And the easiest to manipulate. You don't want a leader. You want a puppet, a useful clown to do your every bidding.
Jar Jar slumps at hearing her say this. Palpatine clocks his reaction and moves in for the kill.
Oh, I can't say I won't twist the governor's arm a little, but I think you underestimate our Gungan friend.
Padme realizes she has blundered and backs off sheepishly.
I'm sorry, Jar Jar. I didn't mean that you were...
A useful clown?
Again, I apologize.
Palpatine pats Jar Jar on the hand and gives him a chummy smile.
All I ask is that you sleep on it.
He nods to the droid, who taps a button and opens the door.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I am honored by your presence.
Bail Organa gives a courteous bow.
It is we who are honored by you, Emperor.
Bail and Padme head for the door. Jar Jar lingers for a moment, nervous.
Thank you, Mr. Emperor. But if Misa being honest, Misa really don't want to...
Palpatine makes a flick of the wrist, and the door slams shut with Padme and Bail on the other side. Jar Jar jumps, startled.
Hey! Hey! Open up!
Oh, we didn't violate our parking!
Hey. Too far away.
Hey, look at that! Hey, what happened?
Oh, darn that door! It's got a mind of its own!
He nods to the droid who tries to fix the door. Palpatine sidles up to Jar Jar, his voice low and oily.
Now then, let us talk plainly, Jar Jar. I am offering you the kind of power most politicians only dream of. Think of the people you could help.
Jar Jar ponders this sincerely. Palpatine gives a coy smile.
Take, for instance, the pollution of the Andravia River.
Jar Jar turns to him, surprised.
You still know about that?
Alas, there's not much a junior representative could do about it, other than to submit a proposal to forward a motion to allow for a delegation to review the matter.
But if Misa was governor...
Then you, sir, could just snap your fingers.
Hey, Palpatine? Fucking back off. That's jacked up that you would make fun of the way I speak, motherfucker.
Excuse me, Jar Jar, that was slightly problematic of me, but I like that we can call each other out on this stuff.
This is a sort of trust that your emperor and governors will have with each other.
The sort of rapport that you can expect from me.
He snaps his fingers and the doors open again. Jar Jar blinks, confused. Palpatine guides him to the door.
Like I said, give it a good night's sleep. I look forward to working with you, Governor.
As Jar Jar steps into the hall, Palpatine shoots a smug look to Padme. She glares back at him as the door slides shut. Interior Senate Hall, day. It's West Wing walk and talk time, baby.
Yeah.
Padme, Jar Jar, and Bail walk briskly through the Senate halls.
Whatever he offered you in there is not
Matt,
worth the price.
I need you to stand up for this. I'm standing up.
Okay. Get that energy. Okay. Yep. My mic.
Yeah.
Gonna hold my computer.
Okay.
Whatever he offered you in there is not worth the price.
But he just says we can fix the pollution.
What pollution?
In the Andravea. You still don't know?
All Palpatine wants
hey,
is power.
Bail, stand up. We can tell that you're not standing.
I'm actually walking in place.
Yes, yeah,
all Palpatine wants is power, and it's clear he'll do anything now to get it.
But don't you still need power to help the people?
His kind of power never helps. It only corrupts.
But then what should Misa do?
Padme and Bail share a look. Should we tell him? Padme nods her approval. Bail turns to Jar Jar and whispers,
resist.
Battle lines are being drawn, Jar Jar, between darkness and light. I hope and pray we find ourselves fighting on the same side.
With that, Padme and Bail step out of the building onto the street. Jar Jar lingers in the entrance, wearing a pensive frown and a furrowed brow.
That's the most exercise I've ever gotten during a podcast. All right, moving on.
I got some reps in.
It's the most exercise I've gotten all quarantine.
Interior Dex's Diner, night. It is shot right out of an Edward Hopper painting. More like Edward Incom T-16 Skyhopper, am I right?
Fuck.
That one's for you. True nerds. In a shot right out of an Edward Hopper painting, Jar Jar broods over a Bantha burger and a blue milkshake in Dex's diner.
You look like you just woke up in a Gundark's nest.
Dex himself saunters over to Jar Jar in a super fun cameo appearance. Jar Jar frowns.
Misa and Big Poodoo this time, Dex. Misa gotta choose between light and darkness.
Nah, doesn't sound so hard to me. Unless you ain't paid your power bill.
Misa don't know which side is which. Mr. Palpatine supported Misa's career when no one else would, but Padme is the smartest person Misa knows. She had a person cloned for her entire life just in case someone killed her. And then someone did. I don't remember these movies. Did that happen like that? It's what happened.
I don't know if she was a clone, but you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
She's not a clone. That's right.
They were
I'm pretty sure she looked a lot like Rose Byrne and then Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Dex chuckles ruefully.
Kid, you don't flip burgers in this town for 700 years without learning a thing or two. So let me tell you what I've learned. Closing time was 10 minutes ago. My advice is you pay up and get out.
He pounds the table in delight. Jar Jar sighs and drops some coins on the counter.
All right, all right.
Exterior Coruscant Street, night. Jar Jar stands outside the diner, milkshake in
a... Milkshake in a to-go cup, Will.
Milkshake in a to-go cup. He stares down the long, lonely city street. Down one end, the lights of the city glitter. Down the other, dark, shadowy alleys. Jar Jar lets out a weary sigh. He takes a step into the street, and a large cargo hauler lurches to a halt in front of him. The door pops open, and two hulking droids pop out.
What the? Yeah!
The droids grab Jar Jar and throw him into the hauler. As Jar Jar's milkshake splats on the ground, the hauler speeds off into the night. Interior cargo hauler, night. The droids pin Jar Jar to the wall and call out to the hauler's driver.
Passing secure.
What do you so want? Whosa are you?
The driver speaks with a gruff, authoritative, yet somehow ethereal voice. All right, boys, who wants to do it? Who's got the Liam?
Let's see. Yeah, we'll each do one. Who am I? I'm someone who saved your life. Someone you owe a debt to.
Who am I? I'm someone who saved your life. Someone you owe
a
debt
Freddy,
to.
It's Freddy. I'm not going to beat that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good-ass impression. Go.
Who am I? I'm someone who saved your life. Someone you owe a debt to.
The driver turns to face Jar Jar. Jar Jar gasps and dumbstruck off. For the face staring back at him is...
And I'm here to collect...
The ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface... Well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone. Every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The part of Qui-Gon Jinn will be played today by Matt Arnold.
Sorry, buddy. You don't get as good of an impression as Freddy did.
Jar Jar screams like bloody murder.
Yeah!
Jar Jar, wait. Calm down.
You're supposed to be dead.
I am dead. But through the mystery of the Force, I have... Jar Jar, no!
Jar Jar has ripped open the side door of the cargo hauler and is about to make a high-speed mid-air exit. Qui-Gon seethes. With the Force, he yanks Jar Jar back into the cabin, pins him to the wall. Jar Jar's eyes bulge in terror as Qui-Gon scowls at him.
Junior Representative Binks, merely existing in this realm has taxed me beyond my power. I have no extra energy to suffer your buffoonery.
Honk, honk.
This is wild because I think every other Force ghost has just been like, Luke, I'm here. And it's just like lightly standing there. And like Qui-Gon coming back. And then like just the first thing he's doing is fucking driving a car. Is so insane. Like there may be a revision where it's a droid driving. I'm saying
this
George might see this. And he might be like, oh, I don't know about this. But, you know, we're going to put this out
George
there.
Doesn't have any power anymore. I don't know if you noticed this. We got impressed that JJ and Kathleen.
Kathleen told Matt over chai lattes that George is out. She's in.
Kathleen was like, you know, ghosts always have this weird, if they came back from the dead, why are they all so calm? Like, I'd be a rowdy. I was like, don't worry, Kathleen. We got a rowdy ghost for you. So we got it.
Honk, honk. With Qui-Gon distracted at the wheel, the cargo hauler has veered into oncoming hover traffic. A flying freight mover bears down on them. Qui-Gon lets Jar Jar go and swerves out of the way.
Learn to drive, asshole.
Just asshole, huh? No, like gun dark eater or something.
Poodoo brain.
Learn to hover car, you poodoo brain.
Hey, learn to drive, poodoo brain.
Oh, boy.
Qui-Gon clutches his head in pain.
You better take the wheel.
He disappears from the front seat. Jar Jar leaps forward and takes the wheel of the hauler. Qui-Gon appears in the passenger seat, exhausted.
Qui-Gon, is it really Yusa? How are Yusa here?
The Force is a pathway to many abilities, some consider to be
unnatural.
This ain't unnatural. This is flippin' crazy.
Qui-Gon winces and balls his fists. His force projection shimmers and flickers. Whatever he's doing to project himself into this world is clearly taking it out of him.
I know you're confused, but I must conserve my strength. All will be revealed when we arrive.
Arrive where? Where are Weesa going?
Qui-Gon points out the window. To the Jedi Temple.
To the scene of the crime.
You're gonna kill me.
Kill me.
That's all I could think about when I was writing that scene.
Exterior Jedi Temple, night. Two clone troopers stand guard beside a side entrance to the Jedi Temple. The cargo hauler lands in front of them. They exchange a glance and approach as Jar Jar steps out.
Sorry, Representative. The temple is closed until further notice.
The clone trooper's body spins around, but his head stays stationary. His neck snaps with a sickening crack, and his blaster fires off straight into his partner's face.
Holy damn. Shit!
Both troopers crumple to the ground in a heap. Qui-Gon shimmers into view behind them. He nods to a horrified Jar Jar.
Quickly now.
Qui-Gon enters the temple. Jar Jar nervously steps around the dead troopers and follows him. Interior Jedi Temple, night. The grand halls of the Jedi Order lay in ruins, pockmarked by blaster fire and saber burns. A ghostly silence hangs in the air. Jar Jar shudders as he follows after Qui-Gon.
For a time in life, I studied with a shaman of the wills. They taught me the secret of retaining one's consciousness beyond death. Alas, I died before I could master this ability. Yet, as I beheld the great oneness of the cosmic force, some part of me resisted its embrace. I had a vision of a great evil befalling the galaxy, and my soul would know no peace until I stopped it. So I turned away from the light. I wandered the netherworld trying to find my way back here. For a long, long time, I was lost to oblivion. In the end, it was the screams that guided me home.
One of the things I want to point out here is that they're like, they can teach you all you want about like, hey, here's how you're going to become a ghost after you die. You do need to die before you know for sure you could do it. You know what I mean? It's like you could spend as much time in the classroom talking about how to parachute, but like you still got to get in the plane.
Yep. You got to jump out.
Yeah, Qui-Gon was studying becoming a ghost and like he got his final back and they gave him his A+. And Qui-Gon looked at him and was like, did I though? Did I really get an A+? Do we know?
We'll find out. If you didn't, they scammed you, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
In the end, it was the screams that guided me home.
Qui-Gon closes his eyes in concentration and raises his hands. All around him, a haunting tableau appears. The ghostly forms of younglings, dark and blurry, frozen like 3D shadows, fill the hall. Some flee, some hide, and some lay sprawled on the floor. Jar Jar staggers back in horror.
The younglings, Jar Jar. 200 children slaughtered by a Jedi's blade.
Jar Jar's eyes well with tears. His voice breaks.
Who's the kid that done this? Who?
Qui-Gon motions to a hooded figure standing amidst the chaos, a lightsaber in his grip.
They were killed on the orders of the Dark Lord of the Sith by his new apprentice, Darth Vader. Or as we once knew him.
Suddenly, the figure jump cuts to a new position. The saber, held high for a killing blow, illuminates his face, the face of Anakin Skywalker. Jar Jar gasps.
Annie? No. No, that's not true. That's impossible.
Little call
yeah,
forward.
I got it.
You know? So what you're telling me is that Luke Skywalker is quoting Jar Jar Binks, huh?
Yep.
Anakin has been seduced by the dark side of the Force, by a master of evil only now emerging from the shadows.
Anakin's figure jump cuts again. Now he kneels before a hologram projection of Chancellor Palpatine, scowling in a hooded black robe.
The Chancellor? Oh no.
The calamity I foresaw has already begun. A Sith Lord rules the galaxy. Beside him stands the most powerful Jedi ever known. And the only person who can stop them...
Jar Jar looks up. Qui-Gon stares right at him.
...is me.
But Yusa's just a ghost.
I know. Oh, well, that's where you come in.
Misa?
Palpatine has outwitted his rivals at every turn, but you? He'll never see you coming.
Coming to do what?
To uncover his schemes, to foil his plots.
This isn't too much for Misa, Qui-Gon. You still want Padme or Bail Organa. They still resisting the Empire. Beast can get them right now.
Jar Jar turns to leave. Qui-Gon appears in front of him.
No! They can never know. The Resistance is still in its infancy and full of spies. For their safety and yours, our allies must believe you have become the Emperor's most loyal servant.
But how can Misa serve the people who did this?
He gestures to the carnage around them.
You would do it because you must. Because no one else can. And because the galaxy needs you. Jar Jar.
Jar Jar drops to his knees, overwhelmed by what's being asked of him. Qui-Gon's voice softens as he kneels down next to Jar Jar.
But you will not serve him, Jar Jar. You'll play the part of his bumbling sycophant. But in truth, you'll become something more.
Jar Jar scoffs.
What, a hero? Haven't Yusa heard? Misa already the hero of Naboo.
No, Jar Jar. Not a hero. A phantom menace.
Jar Jar looks up and...
You son of a bitch.
I ran out of the room to tell Cherish when I wrote that line. I was like, oh, this is really good. I referenced the movie. It's a dude, but I misspit it around. Jar Jar looks up at the wild gleam in Qui-Gon's eyes. A long, weary, quiet beat. Then Jar Jar shuts his eyes and lets out a sigh.
You like that movie too?
I do like that movie. It's underrated.
I love that movie. I thought I was pretty good in it.
Well, you need to, at some point, sneak in a, now this is truly the Star Wars.
Now this is attacking the clones. Interior, Palpatine's chambers. Jar Jar shakes hands with Emperor Palpatine as a packed room of politicians and journalists watch. Palpatine throws an arm around Jar Jar and gives a smile for the cameras. It is my great honor to introduce my good friend, Governor Jar Jar Binks. Applause and camera flashes fill the air. Jar Jar masks the pain in his soul behind one of his big, goofy trademark smiles.
The part of Matt Arnold tonight will be played by nobody. Matt is feeling a little bit sick, and we don't want to gross you out with his gross voice. A small service the Storybreak podcast provides to you, our dear listener.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Interior, Palpatine's chambers. Jar Jar shakes hands with Emperor Palpatine as a packed room of journalists watch. Palpatine throws an arm around Jar Jar and gives a smile for the cameras.
It is my great honor to introduce Governor Jar Jar Binks.
Applause and camera flashes fill the air. Nate38, watching from the wings, wipes an imaginary tear from her eye. Jar Jar masks the pain in his soul behind one of his big, goofy trademark smiles.
Governor, your public awaits.
The applause die down as all eyes lock onto Jar Jar. He gulps nervously and prepares to address the journalists.
Thank you. Thank you. Misa's so thrilled to serve the people.
Palpatine gives a subtle cough of the throat.
Misa, the Emperor as the first planetary governor of Naboo.
The reporters fire off a flurry of questions at Jar Jar.
Will the people of Naboo accept imperial rule?
What's your top priority as governor?
We're all from the 30s, all the 30s reporters.
How does it feel to be the first Gungan to hold Naboo's highest office? Jar Jar, disoriented for a moment, finds his footing with this last question.
Misa thinking it's about time.
He gives a playful thumbs up, earning a friendly chuckle from the crowd, except for reporter number 4.
It's been 1 week since the sudden death of your colleague, Senator Amidala. Reporter number 4 is part of the foreign press and has a slight German accent.
The part of reporter number 4 will be played by Werner Herzog.
It has been 1 week since the sudden death of your colleague, Senator Amidala. Why won't the Empire release her autopsy report? What are you hiding? What darkness lies within this pages?
A pang of guilt from Jar Jar. He glances out the window. The plaza has been transformed into a massive memorial shrine for Padme. Her floating holographic portrait looks down on dozens of mourners paying their respects with flowers and wreaths. Jar Jar glances to Palpatine, who gives him a nod. Jar Jar recites a clearly rehearsed speech.
Senator Amidala was a brave leader and a dear friend. And if she were alive today, Misa thinks she'd want all of us to put aside our differences and come together to serve our great new empire.
But reporter number 4 ain't having it.
But why were the medical droid's memories wiped? What is the Emperor hiding? How did Padme Amidala die? You know what's crazy? I can't be Herzog because Herzog's in Star Wars now.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? He's in The Mandalorian, so it's like I can't have this fun fantasy.
The part of reporter number 4 will be played by Klaus Kinski.
By unnamed Bavarian man.
Unnamed Bavarian man. Reporter number 4 stops abruptly. He tries to force out the words, but they won't come. He claws at his throat. He's choking. A murmur of alarm breaks out in the crowd as a door slides open and deep robotic breathing cuts through the air. Darth Vader, early 20s.
Fuck off. That's the funniest. Sorry. That's the fucking funniest. Dude, no. That's the fucking funniest shit, dude.
He's 22 when he becomes Darth Vader, Supreme Lord and Commander of the Imperial Forces. He's a Zoomer.
Dude, Darth Vader, comma, early 20s. If you ever write this in a script, you can literally just like stop typing and just stare off in the middle distance and be like, I've done it. I've become a screenwriter.
I've done it.
That's a dream line right there.
It's a dream line. Darth Vader, early 20s, evil but doesn't know it, stands in the doorway of Palpatine's private office. His force-choking hand outstretched. A panic breaks out among the reporters. Jar Jar trembles in fear. A spark of irritation flashes on Palpatine's face, but he quickly recovers and gives a sinister smile.
Dear friends, allow me to introduce another new member of my administration.
Please meet my personal lieutenant and supreme commander of the Imperial Forces, Lord Darth Vader.
Okay, now this is, how are we going to do this, man? Darth Vader's voice is...
Is there like a Vader Me app? We could just do that.
Hold on, Will. Let me just, I think I have a voice mod account.
Oh my God. Yeah,
hold on. Let me just download an app on my phone.
Freddie, just a note. In this performance, could you let the hate flow through you?
But I have to kind of give a cool early 20s vibe, right?
You just got out of college. You're looking for a job while trying to find yourself in Los Angeles. Your biggest inspiration is the films of Greta Gerwig.
This conference is over. Any further questions will be answered outside.
He swipes his arm to the side and reporter number 4 goes flying out the window. The reporters scream and flee from the room. Jar Jar watches the whole spectacle in terror.
Well, Lord Vader, not exactly the way I had planned to introduce you to the galaxy, but effective nonetheless.
Thank you, Master.
Oh, I don't believe you two have had the pleasure of meeting. Jar Jar Binks, meet Darth Vader.
Pure melancholy fills Jar Jar's face as he looks into the cold black eyes of Vader's mask. Flashback. For a brief moment, we're thrown back to the moment Jar Jar first met Anakin as a smiling, innocent child on Tatooine. In flashback, Jar Jar quickly hides his melancholy behind another polite smile.
It's a bombad honor, Lord Vader.
Vader's mask is as unreadable as ever, as is his deep, stoic voice.
The honor is mine, Governor Binks.
Your transport to Naboo awaits you, Governor. As for us, we have some tedious state business to attend to. Come, Vader. The Red Council awaits.
But I don't wish to attend this meeting. I wish to meditate.
Vader, stop being a dick and listen to me. I'm your boss. You're supposed to do stuff that I say.
I like a petulant Vader. I'm just improvising some lines here.
But you told me I could go play with my friends at the mall. I was supposed to meet my friend skateboarding by the Sbarro. Dwayne told me about this cool skate spot that he had found by those waterfalls, and you said that I could do it if my chores were done.
Now, Vader, I'll take you to GameStop later, and you can pick out something for the Nintendo Switch.
Palpatine leads Vader into his office as two of those red troopers gently but firmly usher Jar Jar and Nate-38 into the hallway. Jar Jar cranes his neck to see past them and catches a glimpse of Vader looking back at him from within Palpatine's private office. Beyond him, Palpatine addresses the holographic forms of several hooded figures. Before he can see any more, the doors slide shut in Jar Jar's face. Exterior, Theed, fish processing plant, day. Jar Jar once again stands in front of a big-ass processing plant, delivering a speech to a crowd of onlookers. He lifts up a big, ugly fish.
Look at this fish. This one may seem like an ordinary glub-glub, but in fact, it's gonna be the lifeblood of the Empire.
Jar Jar squeezes the fish and a viscous oil seeps from its hideous pores.
Because when you squeeze a glub-glub, you get glub-glub oil. And if you got glub-glub oil, you can thermo-lubricate an ion engine. And when you can thermo-lubricate an ion engine, you get Star Destroyers.
Jar Jar points dramatically to the sky, where 3 Star Destroyers appear out of nowhere above the plant. The crowd goes absolutely fucking bananas. Jar Jar gives a playful, debonair grin.
On Corellia, they make the ships. On Naboo, we make them move.
Fireworks, club music, the factory rumbles to life. 3 huge banners unfurl from the Star Destroyers that say, we make them move.
Yes!
Jar Jar busts a move, and soon the whole giddy crowd is dancing and chanting his name.
I feel like somebody leans over to somebody and is like, I miss the Jedi. They're really good dancers. And then they just instantly get taken away by 2, like, cloaked security guards.
The crowd is vibing so hard, they barely notice the noxious cloud now puffing out of this factory smokestack, or the hideous runoff sludge pumping out into the river. But at the edge of the crowd, a solitary hooded figure stares at Jar Jar and balls their Gungan fists in rage. Interior, Theed Palace hallway, day. It's another West Wing walk and talk, baby. Nate-38 and Jar Jar make their way through the bustling palace hallway.
Governor Binks, your approval rating is sky high. Lisa, make a move is the song of the summer. The people are so fired up, they've completely forgotten that the Wartime Production Act has suspended their civil rights.
Jar Jar is not thrilled to hear this, but tries to play along.
Oh, good.
The Emperor is very pleased. He sent you a fruit basket along with that man from the press conference.
Nate-38 hands Jar Jar a fruit basket and nods at Darth Vader looming in the hallway, just straight up staring at a big, beautiful portrait of Padme that hangs on the wall.
Sorry, that's the funniest image in all of Star Wars.
Yep.
Vader? What is Hisa doing here?
I believe he's here to be the stick to your carrot, as it were.
Governor Binks.
Jar Jar jumps in fright. Vader nods to him from an awkward distance down the hall.
Ah! Hello?
Darth Vader.
Yes, Darth Vader. So nice to see you again. Welcome to Naboo. Would Yusa like some fruit?
I do not eat fruit. Excuse me.
Darth Vader walks past them towards his office.
The power of fruit is insignificant compared to the power of the Force.
I'm sorry, I have to, not to pat myself on the back, but Darth Vader having to remind someone what his name is the funniest thing in the world.
Yes.
It's Darth Vader. Yeah, Darth Vader.
It's so good.
I do not eat fruit. My bowels do not require.
That's literally my favorite Darth Vader line ever, is Vader saying, excuse I do not me. Eat fruit. Is literally the best Vader line of all time.
James Earl Jones saying that's okay. So, okay, I played Mufasa.
I like to think it's Jar Jar's like, would you like some fruit? And we just do like that war flashback of that floating apple with a bite in it floating between him and Padme. He like shakes it off. He's like, I do not eat fruit. He's never again.
Darth Vader walks past them towards his office.
Well, Misa, just next door if you need anything.
Vader gives him a dismissive wave and enters his office. Through the door, Jar Jar sees another hollow meeting of the Red Council. An elaborate 3D battle plan centering around a planet floats in the room. Jar Jar gets a mere glimpse at the plans before he notices Vader glowering right at him. Jar Jar quickly looks away and the door slides shut. Exterior, Theed Palace rooftop, night. Qui-Gon and Jar Jar rendezvous on the Theed Palace rooftop. Qui-Gon scowls, pacing back and forth.
My sources say the attack on Finesse was planned by Vader himself under the orders of the Red Council. If we had known in time, we could have stopped it. Instead, thousands of Nerf herders died while you danced for the masses.
Misa's just the governor. They just don't let me into the military meetings.
Well, that's just not going to cut it, Governor Binks. You have to get in there by any means necessary.
Qui-Gon stops and sniffs the air. He cringes in disgust.
Force ghosts can smell.
They can see and hear, can't they?
Good point. Good point.
God, what is that smell? The stench could wake the dead. It did wake the dead. I'm dead, and I'm awake. Wow. I'm funny as a ghost.
Jar Jar points to the Glub Glub plant off in the distance and the big stinky cloud floating above it.
It's the Glub Glub plant. Is it that bad?
Qui-Gon arches an eyebrow. Interior,
I'm sorry, just you guys don't know. Every time I hear Glub Glub, all I hear is, I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face, and I spread the dreary rearies all over the place. Glub, glub, glub.
Is that your rap EP, Matt?
All the parents know.
All the parents know what you're talking about?
All the parents know the Pout Pout Fish book, which is very good, but I say the word glub glub a lot. Anyways.
Interior Theed Palace hallway. An angry mob of rich Naboo nobles confront an 838 at the doorway to Jar Jar's office.
The whole city reeks of those wretched glub glubs. Our riverside production of Squid Lake is ruined. We demand an audience with the governor.
Governor Binks hears your concerns and is working at this very moment on a solution.
Exterior palace day. 20 stories above the street, Jar Jar steps out of his office window onto an incredibly narrow ledge. He trembles, trying not to look down, and keeps his voice as calm as possible as he speaks into a comlink.
Oh, what about smells like freedom? We should turn the stink into a source of pride.
Jar Jar inches along the ledge, past a giant piece of graffiti, a caricature of him holding a stinky fish and saying, P-Yusa. A confused voice chimes in on the other end of the comlink.
Governor, where are you right now?
Just, on Misa way to another meeting.
Jar Jar arrives at his destination, the window into Darth Vader's office. He whispers into the comlink.
Misa gonna call you back.
Jar Jar peers into the window, but inside, all he can see is a black curtain. He smushes his face against the glass, trying to see past it. Suddenly, the curtain stirs and turns around. It's not a curtain at all. It's a cape. Jar Jar is face to face with Darth Vader. Jar Jar yelps in fright and loses his balance. He falls, and Vader punches through the window and grabs him by the shirt collar.
Governor?
It's just getting some fresh air.
Jar Jar takes a big, deep breath and cringes from the putrid smell.
Wait, you doing?
Just to clarify, he was putting his face in the back of Vader's cape.
No, there's a window. There's a window,
and there's a curtain behind the window, and he thought it was just a black curtain, but it's Darth Vader's cape, and then Vader turned around.
Oh, I see. It's just the idea that he put his face very close to Vader's butt, and then Vader turns around. He's like, sorry, I was just getting some fresh air. Just from my butt? Anyway.
So what you doing?
A guerrilla resistance mocks your reign with vandalism and sabotage. At present, I am hunting down their leader.
Okay, well, keep it up.
I suggest you return to your duties. It would be a shame if we had to let you go.
With a wave of his hand, Vader force floats Jar Jar back away towards his office. Exterior theme, day. Jar Jar makes another speech in front of the Glub Glub plant, this time to a much surlier crowd.
Naboo is strong. Naboo is empire strong. So when Weesa smell the Glub Glub, Weesa don't say P-U-S-A. We say, smells like freedom.
The same three Star Destroyers appear above. More fireworks, more banners, but this time the unruly crowd just erupts in a chorus of boos. Jar Jar sweats bullets and tries to win them over.
And Weesa make a move.
He starts to dance a little jig, which only makes the crowd angrier. The booing turns to chanting.
We want civil rights.
Jar Jar cringes. Behind him, a cargo ship rises out of the plant into the sky. Suddenly, a rocket streaks from the crowd and blows the ship to smithereens. The sky turns to fire and fish oil. The crowd screams and scatters in all directions. Jar Jar hits the deck and cowers as flaming debris falls all around him. At the center of the chaos, he sees the robed figure holding a smoking rocket launcher. A gust of wind blows the hood off their face. It's Croquet! Jar Jar's eyes go wide. Croquet stares at him through the flames, sneering with contempt. Then she turns away and vanishes into the fleeing crowd. Exterior Theed, rooftop, night. Jar Jar broods as he looks out at the city. Qui-Gon stands next to him, his patience wearing thin.
You should know what the worst part is? That Glub Glub shipment exploded right over the Yacht Club River Regatta. Misa can kiss that fourth quarter fundraising goal goodbye.
A weary Jar Jar lights up a death stick and takes a drag.
These are soldiers' hands, Qui-Gon. Misa should be out there fighting the good fight, like Croquet.
Croquet?
She's the leader of the resistance in the city.
Qui-Gon's eyes blaze with sudden fire.
You know the leader of the guerrilla resistance?
Yeah. Oh, maybe Misa can get her to help us.
Qui-Gon rubs his beard, already plotting his next move.
Yes. Yes, she'll be quite useful. When you hand her on a silver plate to Vader...
What?
It's the only way to get you into those meetings.
But Croquet is on our side. She's a hero.
Then she can die like one.
Jar Jar steps back, regarding Qui-Gon with a quiet horror. Qui-Gon notices his unease and gives a mournful frown.
I sense your feelings. You think I'm a monster. That I've gone to the dark side. Maybe I have. Maybe war itself is the way of the dark side.
He softens and looks imploringly at Jar Jar.
But this is war, Jar Jar, and Croquet knows that. Every day she defies death to blow up crates of fish. You think she wouldn't lay down her life to put a spy at the Emperor's table to help save millions? What would you do, soldier?
Jar Jar turns away. He stares out at the lights of the city. A tear wells in his eye.
Misa would die for the people Misa love.
Interior Jar Jar's office. Day. Nate38 hands a data pad to a stressed-out Jar Jar sitting at his desk.
Here's everything I could find on Croquet Seal, Governor.
Jar Jar flips through photos of Croquet on the data pad. We see her fighting in battle, marching at a protest, tending to the sick and wounded.
What a diverse array of photos.
Her resume is very impressive. War veteran, environmental activist, Gunganitarian volunteer. Are we considering her for a cabinet post? She'd be quite an asset.
Yes, she's a great person, all right.
Jar Jar stares at the photo of Croquet fighting in battle. We push into his eyes and begin flashback.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Exterior Naboo, day, flashback.
Has there been a Star Wars flashback?
Has there? There was one in Rise of Skywalker. They flash back to young Leia and Luke training. So we're in good company.
No joke. I don't know that because I was peeing.
Oh, no.
Literally, I was watching that movie and I was like, this feels like a good time to go to the bathroom. I came back and I was
Do your bathroom business when Star Wars is over, Freddy.
I asked my brother, I'm like, what did I miss? He was like a flashback with like a young... I'm like, what? Oh, man.
Wasn't just like Oliver One a flashback?
Yes, the prequels are technically a flashback. If you think about it. This whole movie's a flashback.
It all is. It's a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Long time ago and far, far away.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exterior Naboo, day, flashback. As the battle against the droid army rages, Jar Jar nuts himself on a tank barrel. He winces in pain and falls to the ground. A shadow falls over him. It's a hulking battle droid. It levels its blaster at Jar Jar. He cowers. Wham! And Croquet flies in from nowhere to tackle the droid to the ground. With a brutal tear, she rips a clump of wires from the droid's neck and it dies in an instant. Jar Jar gives her a grateful smile. She helps him to his feet and shoves a blaster into his hands. Back to the fight, General! With a wild grin, she charges into battle and we end flashback. Jar Jar studies the picture of Croquet on the datapad, lost in thought and racked with guilt.
Shall I have our recruitment team reach out to her?
No. Misa will take care of her.
Jar Jar picks up the datapad and heads out the door.
Jar Jar picks up a gun, a loaded pistol, and chambers around.
Interior, Darth Vader's office, day. By the way, Darth Vader's office, also one of my favorite slug lines I've ever written in my life.
Darth Vader's office.
There's an empty fruit bowl in there.
Yep. Jar Jar's just staring at the bowl like, where did the fruit go?
Jar Jar presents his findings to Darth Vader in a hologram of the Emperor. He stands before a 3D holographic model of a large temple.
Croquet runs a refuge camp at the Temple of Gaba. Based on the locations of recent attacks, Misa think the temple is a hiding place for the resistance.
The 3D model switches to a map of Naboo. Red X's pop up all over the planet, showing locations of resistance attacks. Lions shoot out from the X's and converge on the temple, which sits roughly at the center of the action. Emperor Palpatine smiles.
So, the poster boy is more than just a pretty face. I'm impressed, Jar Jar. Lord Vader, it seems you could learn a thing or two from the governor.
God damn.
Vader stares at Jar Jar through the hologram, noticing the guilt in his eyes.
Yes, I believe I could.
Vader, you will lead a strike team to this temple and bring these agitators to justice. I want our top team on this.
Jar Jar timidly excuses himself and heads for the door.
Well, Misa, no shop talk when Misa hear it.
I request that the governor accompany me on this mission.
Jar Jar freezes in his tracks.
Me?
Vader glowers at him, his voice dripping with menace.
You are a soldier, after all. It will be a boon to your image to lead the attack, and I'm sure there's more I can learn from how you handle the situation.
Jar Jar gives a big, nervous gulp.
When do we leave?
Exterior, Gungan refugee camp. Thunder rumbles in the rainy skies. Hundreds of displaced Gungans gather in tents and shiver around fires in a sprawling makeshift camp. At the center of camp stands an old, worn-down temple. A crack of lightning heralds the descent of an Imperial assault shuttle into the middle of the camp. A furious wind kicks up as the shuttle lands. Gungans scramble in fear. Darth Vader and Jar Jar descend the shuttle's loading ramp, flanked by a squad of menacing clone troopers. The refugees watch with dread as they make their way through the camp towards the temple. Jar Jar tries to maintain a stoic expression, but the wrenching desperation of the scene wears heavy on his soul. Interior, temple, night. The temple has been converted to a makeshift hospital for the sick. Lines of cots stretch out along the stone floor, each holding an ailing Gungan. Croke Seal paces amongst them, her crutch replaced by a sturdy cane, tending to the ill and issuing commands to nurses and volunteers. The front doors of the church burst open. Jar Jar, Vader, and the troopers march inside. A sick Gungan looks up at Croke with worry. She gives them a calm, reassuring look. Croke washes her hands and turns to face the intruders.
Ah, Lord Vader, Governor Binks. To what do Weesa owe the pleasure?
Croke Seal, you are under arrest for conspiring against the Empire.
Two troopers step up to Croke, knock her cane aside, and cup her hands in front of her.
Misa, see. And Husa accused me of this crime?
She looks directly at Jar Jar. He glances away.
Misa saw you at the factory, Croke.
Then I guess we should know whose side you saw on, General.
Vader turns to the other troopers.
Fan out and search the area. There could be more of them.
The troopers spread out into the church to begin their search. They kick over crates, rip blankets off the sick, and peer under their cots. Tears begin to well in Jar Jar's eyes. Vader watches him like a hawk. His hand draws instinctively to the lightsaber on his belt. Croke glares at Jar Jar as the troopers drag her past him towards the exit.
Did Yusa put up a fight at least? Did they beat it out of you? Or did you just smile when you stabbed your people in the back?
Jar Jar's voice breaks as he mumbles a response.
Naboo is proud to serve the Emperor, and Misa proud to serve Naboo.
Croke spits in Jar Jar's face.
Look around you, Jar Jar. Look at what they're doing. Yusa fought their war for this?
Jar Jar becomes keenly aware of Vader staring at him, waiting to see how he'll respond. With a surge of determination, Jar Jar balls his fists and masks his feelings behind a cloak of righteous anger.
Misa fought for the good of the galaxy. Misa's still fighting. Not just for Naboo, but for everyone. Yusa the traitor, Croke. Yusa the one that can't see that peace only comes through strength.
Vader's stance relaxes at this response. His hand moves off his lightsaber. Croke chuckles bitterly. She whispers to Jar Jar.
Do you know why Misa let you see me at the factory, Jar Jar? Either Yusa would say nothing, and Misa would have had an ally. Or Yusa would tell Vader and lead him straight to us.
Jar Jar's eyes flash with worry as that same wild grin fills Croke's face. Across the room, one of the troopers rips a blanket off a resting Gungan and comes face to face with a hidden blaster rifle. The sick in air quotes, Gungan, gives the trooper a vengeful smirk. Death to the Empire. Boom! The Gungan blows the trooper's head clean off. At the sound of the gunshot, a dozen more resistance fighters, human and Gungan alike, leap out from hiding spots all around the church and open fire on the troopers. Jar Jar ducks for cover as the two troopers holding Croke are cut down in the same bloody instant. Croke dives to the floor and grabs for her cane. Vader is a whirling dervish of death. His saber blocks blaster fire with terrifying speed. With a hand outstretched to the force, he crushes windpipes and smashes heads with falling debris. Sick Gungans scramble in fright as the battle rages around them. Seeing that Vader's distracted, Croke pulls a blaster from the hilt of her cane and takes deadly aim at his back. Wham! But just as she pulls the trigger, Vader merely looks in her direction, and a crossbeam falls from the ceiling and slams into her, pinning her to the ground. Croke cries out in pain. Her screams echo off the now silent temple walls. Her resistance comrades, all dead, lie in smoking heaps throughout the room. Vader steps up to Croke. She looks up at him with burning hatred. He aims his saber between her eyes and twists a knob on the hilt with his thumb. Slowly but surely, the deadly blade inches towards her.
Yes, we finally know what the knob is for.
Nice. Jar Jar watches in horror. He calls out to Vader.
Vader. Vader, stop. It's really cool you're using the knob. Vader. Vader, stop. Lord Vader.
Krokus shuts her eyes, ready for the end. Frantic, desperate, Jar Jar blurts out at the top of his lungs.
Annie!
That gets his attention. The troopers look up in confusion. Vader, startled, turns to Jar Jar, but keeps his blade pointed at Krokus. Jar Jar, realizing he's said too much, tries to recover his composure.
Annie, to her alive, Lord Vader. Misa, think it'd be better to take her in alive. Shisa could be useful to the Emperor, right?
A long, hard beat as Vader stares at Jar Jar, his thumb still on the saber's dial. Krokus sweats bullets.
As you wish.
He turns off his saber and walks past Jar Jar out of the room.
He laboriously retracts his saber by...
He just reels it in like a fisherman.
Just reel it in like a fishing line.
Jar Jar staggers back, relief and dread washing over him in equal measure. Exterior rooftop night. An irate Force Ghost Qui-Gon chews out an anxious Jar Jar on the government palace rooftop.
You said his name?
Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he's already forgot.
Wishful thinking from a guilty conscience.
Misa can't just watch people die, Qui-Gon.
I have news for you, Jar Jar. He's still going to kill her. But now her death may as well mean nothing because you've exposed yourself.
Okay. Okay, well, what do Weesa do? How do Weesa fix it?
Governor Banks!
The sudden booming voice of a droid causes Jar Jar to yelp. Qui-Gon vanishes. The droid, a sinister hovering orb, rises up to the rooftop and comes face to face with Jar Jar.
Lord Vader requests your company at his residence this evening for dinner.
A little arm pops out of the droid, holding an invitation. Jar Jar, baffled, takes it. The droid flies away.
Weesa wants to have dinner?
Qui-Gon reappears behind Jar Jar, stroking his beard as he ponders this curious development.
He's testing you. He knows you know a secret, but he doesn't know how you know, or if you can be trusted. You must be very careful, Jar Jar. You're walking straight into the Gundark's den. Whatever he says to you, just remember, this man has slaughtered children. The Anakin Skywalker you remember is dead. Only Darth Vader remains.
As a look of dread fills Jar Jar's face, we cut to exterior Vader's residence, night. Jar Jar, dressed in a dapper outfit, a bottle of wine under his arm, rings the doorbell of Vader's elegant Theed residence. He paces, nervous as hell, sweat forming on his ears.
He's a killed younglings. He's a killed younglings. He's a killed
younglings. Darth Vader's booming voice comes out of a speaker box next to the door.
Governor Binks, welcome. The door shall open momentarily.
Jar Jar winces in terror. How much did he hear? The door buzzes open. Interior, Darth Vader's residence, night. Jar Jar peeks his head into the residence. In stark contrast to the elegant exterior, Vader's decor is Spartan to the extreme, like a depressing sci-fi bachelor pad. A jet-black sofa sits too close to a massive holo screen, the only thing adorning the utterly bare walls. Discarded clear canisters, each stained with the caked-on dregs of some mystery sludge, litter the floor.
Hello?
One moment.
A flush. Darth Vader emerges from the bathroom.
Governor, forgive the untidy state of my residence. I've had many pressing matters to attend to.
But the live pod race playing on his holoscreen tells a different story. Matt, take it away.
And there goes Quadanero's power coupling again!
With a hasty flick of the wrist, Vader changes the channel to a map of the Empire's latest military operations. He gestures to the dining room.
This is so sad! This is so sad!
Please sit.
It's your dining room, night. Vader has laid out a bunch of to-go boxes from a high-end restaurant on a huge bare table. He guides Jar Jar to a chair. Jar Jar sits, weirded out by the courteous treatment.
A traditional Umberbowl sea feast, courtesy of Kanyan Teds.
For those of you who don't know, Connie and Ted's is a seafood restaurant here in Los Angeles that's quite good.
It's a little L.A. humor for you.
Yeah, a little inside joke.
The finest Gungan restaurant in Theed.
Oh, wow.
I hope it is to your liking.
Vader sits at the other end of the table where no food is set.
Are you still not having any?
Vader presses a button and a panel opens up on the table. One of those canisters emerges, filled with a goopy green sludge.
This neutral sludge shall provide my sustenance.
How the fuck are we the first people to do this in Star Wars? This is like... Anyway,
so
a straw juts out of Vader's helmet. He hooks it up to the canister. A hideous slurping sound begins as the sludge is sucked up through the straw. Jar Jar tries to act casual as he eats his food.
Good. So, Krokus, has Shisa proven useful?
Somehow Vader's cyborg apparati allow him to slurp and speak simultaneously.
Most useful.
Sorry, it's so fucking funny.
Most useful.
Jar Jar can't help but betray a pang of guilt upon hearing this.
Oh, good.
So, you know my secret, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar stiffens up, thrown by this blunt turn in the conversation. The slurping doesn't help either.
It is useless to deny it. I sense your feelings. I wish to know how you came to know this.
Jar Jar laughs nervously and stammers a mile a minute as he tries to explain.
Well, Misa didn't really know. Misa just was kind of guessed. And
on what did you base this guess?
Your height. Yusa the same height as Annie, and Yusa showed up right around the time they say Hisa died.
Darth Vader just stares at him. Jar Jar gulps, mind racing for a more convincing excuse.
And you know Wisa Gunk has got great noses. Yusa may be the Supreme Commander now, but Yusa still don't wash up enough. Pee Yusa.
The slurping stops. A long, stony silence hangs in the air. Jar Jar gulps.
He just kills him. Don't make fun of my hygiene.
Are Yusa gonna tell the Emperor?
If the Emperor knew, he'd have you killed in an instant. My former identity is one of the most closely held secrets in the galaxy.
Well, Misa not gonna tell anybody, honest.
As long as we're being honest, it is good to see you, old friend.
Vader seems to slump in his seat a little. Jar Jar's fear subsides as a cautious curiosity takes hold. He leans in.
It is?
My allegiance to the Emperor has brought me power, prestige, a fleet to command, a galaxy to rule. But still, I am lonely. Often my thoughts turn to better days.
Darth Vader stands up and walks to the window. Jar Jar watches, surprised at his sudden vulnerability. Vader produces something from inside his cloak, a necklace with a small hand-carved wooden charm at the end. He runs a gentle gloved hand over the charm.
That's when you know it's serious, is when somebody walks up to
the window. Yeah, it's classic blocking, man. He's got to go to the window.
It wasn't until now that I think, has anybody ever stood up and walked to a window? Can you recall any moment?
I'm going to do that next time. Next time I see you, man, I'm going to pull that power.
Yeah, he's
going
to walk up to a window.
Dude, what a flex, dude. Freddy walks up in windows during conversations all the time.
Do you remember this from Tatooine? It was the first gift I ever gave to Padme. As a boy, I carved it from a Jabur snippet for her to remember me by. Now, it is how I remember her.
Jar Jar's caution melts into pity at this sad, sentimental tale.
I wonder, what would she think of me now? Of what I have become?
I'm sorry to ruin this, Will, because this is beautiful what you're writing, but I love the idea that since he's turned away from Jar Jar, it's like, I wonder what she would think. And then you just hear slurping again. And then when he turns around, he has like a smoothie in his hand. It's like, wait, why is slurping
all
appearing?
Right.
Why is slurping appearing while he's facing away? Okay, sorry.
Jar Jar can't help but step towards his old friend. He begins to reach out a comforting hand. He opens his mouth to say something kind and reassuring. But then he sees Vader's reflection in the window, not gazing at the Jabur snippet, but staring right at him, watching him like a hawk, waiting to see how he'll react. A chill runs down Jar Jar's spine as he realizes he's being played. He bites down his fear, draws a deep breath, and tries to course correct.
The time for wondering was before Yusa killed the younglings, Vader.
Vader turns around and stares hard at him. Jar Jar gulps, but keeps his nerve. Jar Jar doing a lot of gulping in the scene. I gotta stop doing that.
It's a Gungan thing.
It's a Gungan
thing.
Yeah,
it's a gulp, you know. Do people really gulp when they're nervous? Anyway.
Gulping for that air. You know, they're amphibians. It's hard to breathe.
He steps towards Vader, acid rising in his voice.
If Yusa feeling this way, maybe Yusa too weak to be Supreme Commander. Yusa may be too emotional.
Vader stands his ground, but says nothing. Jar Jar commits to the bit, getting angry now.
First, in your anger, Yusa nearly killed Kroke before Wisa learned what she knows. And now this in sad display?
Jar Jar gets right up in his face. He can see his own reflection in the obsidian eyes of Vader's helmet.
Get it through what's left of your skull. Anakin Skywalker is dead. Yusa Darth Vader now. Okay.
Jar Jar glares at Vader for a long, tense beat.
I quite agree.
Vader raises his fist and crushes the Jabur snippet in his vice-like grip. Sawdust trickles down to the floor.
It seems I was wrong to doubt you, Governor. You'll be a fine addition to the Red Council. Come, we have much to discuss.
Vader turns on a dime and heads for a room beyond the dining table. Jar Jar follows, his expression poker-faced, but behind his back, his hands tremble uncontrollably. Interior, council room, night. Vader leads Jar Jar into a large, pitch-dark room. The spotlight shines down, revealing a sinister interrogation chair, complete with straps, electrodes, braces, etc. in the center of the room. Fear fills Jar Jar's eyes, but he tries to keep calm. Vader motions to the chair.
Please be seated.
Jar Jar, uneasy, sits down in the chair. Vader taps a button on its side and the chair springs to life. Straps tighten around Jar Jar's wrists and ankles. Electrodes affix themselves to Jar Jar's brow. A screen glows to life and displays his heartbeat.
For your outstanding service to the Emperor, you have been hand-selected to join his most trusted council of advisors, the Red Council. Yet, before you join its ranks, there is a test you must face.
Vader mashes a button on the wall. One by one, the holographic images of the Red Council, six robed figures, their faces obscured in shadow, appear in obsidian seats arranged in a circle. Vader whispers in Jar Jar's ear.
When the time comes,
It's so difficult to do that voice and also whisper.
When the time comes, follow my lead.
The final figure appears in hologram form. It's Emperor Palpatine.
This meeting of the illustrious Red Council is now called to order.
Long live the Emperor!
Long live the Emperor!
Emperor Palpatine smiles at Jar Jar, whose interrogation seat is arranged smack dab in the middle of the circle.
I see our newest recruit is ready for the initiation. Dr. Lindo, you may begin when ready.
One of the council members, Dr. Yarba Lindo, rises from her chair and nods to Jar Jar.
Governor, before you are admitted to this council, you will answer a series of questions. The machine you are connected to measures your psychic state. If you lie to us, it will know, and you will not leave this room alive. Are you ready to proceed?
Jar Jar nods, scared out of his mind. She snaps her fingers, and a 3D schematic appears floating before Jar Jar. It's the Death Star!
Well, that's such a cheat in the script to be able to just say, it's the Death
Star,
one sentence.
I know, I had the exact same thought.
You fucking... you
I
fucking...
I'm not going to sit here and be like, it's a sphere with a little dent in it, and it looks real scary. Like, come on. This is like basically putting...
It's no more than a cheat than saying something's a gun. Like, everybody knows what the Death Star is. It's fine.
You're now looking at the most closely held secret in the galaxy. A superweapon, still in its prototype stage, capable of destroying entire worlds.
Jar Jar's jaw goes slack in dread as he stares at the Death Star.
This weapon is as of yet unnamed, which brings us to you.
Vader, looming over Jar Jar, unfurls a little piece of paper and reads from it.
This is so good, dude.
I will now read the list of candidate names. You will respond to each name with one of the following options. Strongly approve, somewhat approve, somewhat disapprove, strongly disapprove, or no opinion. Answer truthfully, or the machine shall reveal your deception. Let us begin.
Confusion mixes with the fear in Jar Jar's eyes. Is this really the test? Vader clears his throat and reads the first name.
The Doomstar.
Oh, strongly approve.
Ding! A green light chimes on Jar Jar's chair. One of the council members gives a cocky smirk.
The Death Orb.
Somewhat approve?
Ding! Another green chime. A different council member glares at Jar Jar with burning anger. Jar Jar cringes.
The Kill-O-Sphere.
Darth Vader puts like some extra juicy baritone stank on his voice when he says this. He also gives Jar Jar a discreet thumbs up. Jar Jar's eyes shoot wide in terror.
This is the funniest.
Just give me Jar Jar's first.
To remind you, this is a big sphere that kills things.
Careful, Vader.
Jar Jar gulps. The council waits with bated breath. Vader's stare practically burns into his forehead.
This is strongly approved.
Bzzzt. A red light buzzes on the chair. Jar Jar shudders in pure fright. The council members grin.
Search your feelings. Let the name flow through you. Kilosphere.
Sweat pours down Jar Jar's face. He tries again.
Somewhat approved?
Bzzzt, another red light. Vader seethes. The council members can barely contain their laughter.
Speak truthfully, Governor, or suffer the consequences.
Jar Jar shuts his eyes like a man facing a firing squad.
Strongly disapprove.
Ding! The light turns green. Vader clenches his fists in rage. Suddenly, the whole room begins to tremble.
Misa, sorry, Vader. Misa really tried to like it.
Ding! The light turns green.
It's fine. I disagree, but whatever. It's not like you could come up with something better.
You're right. I probably couldn't.
Bzzzt, the light buzzes red. Vader's rage builds. The shaking intensifies. Dust begins to fall from the ceiling.
Your feelings betray you, Governor. Go ahead, then. Name this weapon if you dare.
Misa no expert, but death is scarier than doom, and star is cooler than orb. Maybe the Death Star?
Vader's hands unclench in an instant. The shaking stops. A pregnant pause as the council members all stare at Jar Jar, then burst out laughing. The Emperor cackles in delight.
That's the stupidest name I've ever heard. Oh no, our planet is doomed! The Death Star is here!
Yes, it is very bad. I quite agree.
Okay, Jar Jar, okay, you're in. On to new business. How do the trials for the Death Star laser going?
More laughing from the council. Jar Jar can't help but roll his eyes in annoyance. The Death Star schematic is replaced by a blueprint for a laser cannon.
This is the most awesome powers scene. It's so good.
It's very Austin Powers.
To further develop our prototype, we must see its destructive capacity in a live fire environment. Yet finding such an environment is complicated by our need for secrecy.
Lindo gives an impish smirk.
After all, it'd be a shame if our plans were revealed before the Death Star was finished.
More chuckling from the council.
Allow me to present a solution to this dilemma.
A holographic picture of a captured Croquet Seal replaces the laser cannon.
The Gungan known as Croquet Seal proved highly resistant to our interrogation droids, but her mind was an open book to me through the power of the Force.
Eye rolls and annoyed looks from the council. There he goes about the Force again. Croquet's image vanishes, replaced by the Starbird, the symbol of the Rebel Alliance.
As I suspected, Croquet and her insurgents are a part of the Galactic Terrorist Network known only by this symbol. Furthermore, several key leaders of this network are hiding out here on Naboo. In the city of New Centrif.
The hologram shows New Centrif, a bustling Naboo metropolis.
I propose we test our laser on New Centrif and blame the destruction on this network. In this way, we crush our enemy and further our aims in one fell stroke.
Hologram New Centrif explodes. Jar Jar watches in despair. Emperor Palpatine smiles.
Clever, Lord Vader.
Too clever? You really expect the public to believe some ragtag anarchists have that much power?
The people will believe whatever we want them to believe, but the story must come from the right source, from someone trusted.
Someone credible.
Someone like... are you guys thinking what I'm thinking?
The Emperor grins. A beat, then the epiphany erupts simultaneously from everyone in the room.
Jar Jar Binks!
A whirlwind of emotions surge in Jar Jar as he processes what they're asking him to do and be a part of.
That's what I'm talking about! Synergy! Unlimited synergy!
Guilt, grief, and fear flash across Jar Jar's face. We linger on him as the sounds of the meeting echo in his ear.
Jar Jar, prepare a speech denouncing this tragic, senseless attack. Dr. Lindo, how soon can we get the Death Star laser ready?
Just to clarify, we're not actually calling it the Death Star, right?
No, it's kind of growing on me.
And then Jar Jar turns to the camera and shrugs.
And goes, are you so freaking kidding me?
Freeze frame.
Exterior rooftop night. Jar Jar gazes out at Theed with worry in his eyes as he meets with Qui-Gon on the palace rooftop.
3 days. That's how much time Weesa have before Theed wipe that city off the face of Naboo.
Qui-Gon's eyes blaze with intensity.
Everything we've done thus far has built to this moment. We can save thousands of lives. We can stop the Empire in its tracks. Are you ready, Jar Jar?
Misa ready.
Qui-Gon nods to a droid lurking in the shadows, one of the hulking robots that first kidnapped Jar Jar. The droid approaches Jar Jar and hands him a small data chip.
You leave for New Centrif tonight. Don't let anyone see you. When you get there, the Resistance will find you, and when they do, give them that chip, and then get to safety.
Jar Jar stares at the chip, puzzled.
What's this? Access codes? A virus to stop the laser?
That, my friend, is bait. The false intelligence on the chip, carefully created by a mutual friend of ours, makes the Emperor's closest allies appear to be the very leaders of the Resistance plotting against him.
Then why don't we give it to Palpatine?
If you tried to hand that chip to Palpatine, you'd sense your treachery at once. But if he finds it himself, in the rubble of New Centrif?
The rubble?
The last place you'd suspect the false flag is right on top of his own.
Jar Jar staggers back, horrified.
Wait. You still want to let them destroy the city? Weesa just gonna let everyone die?
Qui-Gon steps closer, urgent, growing manic.
One city to save 1,000 worlds. Think of it, Jar Jar. The Emperor's most powerful allies wiped out by his own hand. With his supporters destroyed, the Resistance can seize power in the Senate, and Palpatine's Empire will be nothing more than a failed coup. We can set the course of history tonight if you have the courage to see this through.
Jar Jar turns away from him, growing queasy. He stares at the data chip in his hand.
Misa don't know, Qui-Gon. This feels wrong.
One last mission, Jar Jar. That's all I ask of you. Do this, and you're free.
Jar Jar sighs. His fist closes around the data chip, and he shuts his eyes in resignation. Interior, Jar Jar's office, night. Jar Jar paces in his room, his voice quivering with emotion as he recites a speech off a datapad.
Today is a day of big grieving on Naboo. Weesa grieving for all the lives lost in New Centrif. Weesa grieving for the families of the dead. Weesa grieving most of all for the younglings.
Jar Jar bursts into tears. He drops down into his chair and cradles his head as he softly weeps.
The door slides open. Nate 38 enters with a big suitcase.
All set for our spur of the moment trip to New Centrif. Oh dear, you're upset. Whatever is the matter, Governor?
Jar Jar wipes his tears away.
It's a nothing, Nate 38. Misa fine.
Shall I, have them bring the ship around?
Uh-huh.
Nate 38 bows politely and turns for the door. Jar Jar glances at his speech, then at that data chip sitting on his desk. On a sudden impulse, he calls out to Nate.
Wait.
Yes, sir?
If Yusa could do something good, but only by doing something bad, would Yusa do it?
I am only a poll android, sir. I am not programmed to process ethical quandaries. I can tell you that in a double-blind sample poll, 67% of voting age Naboolians at least somewhat agree with the statement, the end justifies the means. Does that help you, sir?
Jar Jar sighs.
Not really. Never mind. Thanks, Nate.
Nate 38, sensing her boss's fraught emotions and vulnerable state, takes a careful step forward and speaks in a compassionate tone.
If I may be so bold, Governor, I can also tell you that when asked to select the quality they admire most in Jar Jar Binks, 89% of your supporters said, I trust him to do what he thinks is right.
Jar Jar winces with frustration.
It's not that simple, though. Misa can't just wave my hand and do whatever Misa wants.
Begging your pardon, sir? But you are the Governor of Naboo. The Empire grants you wide discretion to handle planetary affairs. Not to be crass, but you pretty much can do whatever you want.
Jar Jar looks up. His frustration melts away as he contemplates her observation.
Hey, Yusa right. Misa the Governor of Naboo. Misa can do what I want. Misa was elected to do what I want.
He pounds the table in excitement, then stops short.
But what do Misa want to do? Misa don't know. That's too complicated.
I hate to be a bother, but we do have to hurry if we want to catch that shuttle to New Centrif.
Gah, Misa need more time, Nate. If only Misa could...
Jar Jar gasps as an epiphany strikes him like lightning.
Misa need more time.
Interior Palpatine's throne room, day. An obsidian elevator door slides open. A yawning Palpatine holding a mug of coffee steps into his cavernous throne room. Construction workers are still busy putting the finishing touches on all the spooky lights and terminals. He gives them a friendly nod as he saunters to his throne. Hey, fellas, don't work too hard. Just kidding. Palpatine plops in his throne and takes a sip from his mug. Let's see what's on fire in the Empire. He taps a button.
This is so wild to imagine. Of course, Palpatine didn't start as just this, like, you know, brooding figure on a throne. Of course, he was probably, like, doing some workplace.
Boss, yeah, man.
He's not Vader. Like, he's already a pretty grumpy 60-year-old man or whatever before this.
That's true.
He's charming, though. Palpatine's charming.
That's true.
You don't get to overthrow an entire Senate by not being charming. Let me tell you that much.
He's got the moves, man.
I'll tell you what, though. This Palpatine has confidence. Like, I see this guy. I'm like, this guy. He feels in control.
Yeah, I think only this guy and I buy that he comes back on a chair, you know, 200 years later.
Yeah, bitch, I cloned myself. Of course yeah, I did. I'm Palpatine, baby.
He taps a button on the throne's arm and a hollow screen display lights up. On screen, Jar Jar gives a press conference to a crowd of people.
Huh, didn't know Jar Jar had a presser today.
That's maybe the most insane line in this entire script.
He's talking to himself. Just that's what really does it for me.
The idea of Palpatine, Emperor Palpatine, talking to himself.
There's certain characters as a writer that just click. Like, for me, the Drift King is probably the most fun I've had ever writing a character until I got to write Palpatine, who's my new absolute favorite.
All I'm saying is, like, this Palpatine, I would cast a 60-year-old Adam Sandler right now. Like, that's this vibe I'm getting. And I don't say that. That's a compliment, because I think he's a fucking movie star, but like, right, just is like guy just talking to himself. Yeah, let's see what's our
Palpatine watches as Jar Jar pounds the podium in the middle of a passionate speech.
They's a blowing up our transports, they's a stealing our supplies, and they's a making mean graffiti of me, the governor. They's a anarchists. These rebels must be sent a message, which is why Misa very proud to announce the public execution of the rebel leader Croquet Seal will be broadcasted to the galaxy live in 2 days from right here in New Centrif.
Palpatine drops his coffee mug in shock. It hovers in midair.
Fuck off.
Gotta be a spit take. And then you gotta cut to Ghost Qui-Gon spit taking also.
And the Emperor himself will be here in person to watch. Pretty neato, huh?
Jar Jar gives a goofy grin and is greeted by a volley of boos. Palpatine clenches his fist in rage. The coffee mug shatters. That insolent fool!
And there you have it. That's how far we've got.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You ready for next week, Will?
I just have to do that. Man, I'm stoked. I'm ready to get back into it and get weird with our good buddy Jar Jar. It's been too long. It is honestly one of the most fun scripts I've ever gotten to write. Heaven Heist was a blast. This is a total blast in a different kind of way. I think I've talked about this before. I read fan fiction as a kid, but never really wrote any of it. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. Interesting. I get why it's people very do fun. It. Getting to write, and then Darth Vader shows up. You're like, oh my God, he does. Now he has to do what I tell him to do. This
getting
is great.
To ruin Darth Vader for yes. everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. I'm excited. 2021 is the year of Jar Jar. Nintendo already had the year of Luigi. This is the year of Jar Jar. Next year, year of Waluigi. Let's make it happen. But right now, year of Jar Jar. I'm excited.
Oh, and by the way, folks, thanks so much for everybody who has supported the Maximum Fun Network,
yes.
who pledged for this show, supported the show, bought our pin. You can find all the other shows at MaximumFun.org. But in the meantime, we got some fan art to look at, Will. What do we got?
We do have some good stuff. Fucking our good friend Story Broke sent over a triple shot hat trick of incredible fan art. Two from Jar Jar and one featuring our Bible episode, featuring JC and the Apostles. And also two very, very funny pieces of art. One of which is a very good cologne ad featuring Jar Jar Binks looking very sexy, if I do say so myself. So thanks to Story Broke. You can check that out and a bunch of other fun fan art at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, or you can join the discussion over at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. That's our Facebook group.
That's going to do it for us this week. Next week, back into the Jar Jar madness. Get ready to strap in back into a galaxy far, far away. I know I'm ready to go. I got my blaster set to fun. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And next week, we're gonna have some fun.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The 2021 pin sale has begun. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in the Max Fun Drive. This is the last year for a while that we'll be doing pins for Max Fun Drive, and the fifth year that we'll be selling pins and donating all proceeds to charity. The past year proved what we already knew, that having access to the internet at home is a necessity for work, school, healthcare, and keeping in touch with family and friends. So the proceeds from this year's pin sale will go towards Everyone On, a nonprofit working to bridge the digital divide. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help low-income folks gain access to affordable computers, internet services, and digital literacy programs. The sale will run until May 28th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the pins from the drive. That's 38 pins, one from every show on the network. We also have a special 2021 Max Fun Drive pin that all members can purchase. Go to MaximumFun.org/pinsale for more info. And to learn more about Everyone On and support